Let's face it, college planning is a lot. Essays, applications, financial aid, and choosing the right fit. It can feel like a second full-time job for families. That's where Fast Start 2 College Planning comes in. With resources and real coaching support, they save families time, money, and stress. Their Foundations package gives you short video lessons and easy-to-use checklists so you can get started on your own fast. Or, if you'd rather not go it alone, their advanced and complete packages include personal coaching, custom college lists, and unlimited support to get those applications in and done right. One parent said, "I felt completely lost before working with James. Now my daughter has a college list she's excited about, and we're actually ahead of schedule." Another said, "The coaching sessions took the stress away and helped my son find schools that actually fit." Why would you go it alone when there's real help? Right here. Visit FastStart2College.com to see how their coaching can make college planning easier and maybe even a little fun. That's FastStart, the number 2, college.com. Don't wait. Get started on your college journey now.
You're listening to Real Without Religion with James Kiger, a podcast for spiritual seekers, ex-Christians, and anyone who's done with fear-based faith but still believes in something more. We're not here to argue. We're here to awaken. No guilt, no shame, no dogma. Just real talk, real truth, and real freedom. Now let's get into today's episode.
Hey friends, welcome back to Real Without Religion, where we talk about what it means to live a spiritual life that's real, free, and fully yours. Now today's episode is really special. It's personal, because I'm sitting down with someone who's seen this journey up close from the very beginning, my wife, Anita. We've walked through a lot together: church life, deconstruction, rebuilding, parenting, questioning, healing, and now creating something new. And she's been there for the hard questions, the honest conversations, and the moments when I wasn't sure what would come next. So today I want to flip the script and invite her behind the mic. We're talking about what this journey has looked like, not just from my perspective, but from hers. What it's like to watch someone you love walk away from the faith you both once held, and what it means to stay grounded when the ground shifts, and how we've learned to walk this new path together. Now I already know this is going to be the most popular episode I've ever done, because today I'm sitting down with someone way more beloved than me. People are probably going to message me after this and say, "Hey, just let her take over the podcast." And honestly, I get it. So, Anita, are you ready for this?
I sure am.
All right. So, growing up, church really wasn't a big thing for you, just like Easter and Christmas and that kind of vibe. But even then, do you remember picking up any messages about God or faith or what it meant to be a good girl or a woman?
Well, you're correct in saying that I didn't have a religious past or childhood. I was not raised in a Christian home like you were. And there really wasn't any level of spirituality in my home. As far as what I was taught about being a good girl, the message always was, be sweet, be demure, be quiet, and always be pretty. And that was the sum total of my message. So no spirituality.
So really through high school and all that, you really weren't going to church, right?
Not at all.
Okay.
Actually, spirituality never even entered my mindset.
And you survived, obviously. So that's good. So, but then you did get active in church and you really sold out. So kind of set the stage for us and tell us what you were thinking at that time and just how that all came about.
Well, initially when I got, quote, saved was in 1981, and a person in my apartment building began, quote, witnessing to me, and my decision was I wanted to go forward at church, say the prayer, because I wanted fire insurance. I wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to go to hell.
And you wanted to make sure you were in the rapture, too, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, I really didn't learn about the rapture until later on, because I was saved in a Wesleyan church, and that wasn't a big piece of it. But at that time, I was living with my boyfriend who became my first husband. And what I wanted to do was do everything that would make God happy with me, like a father figure. I wanted to be the good girl to the big daddy.
Okay. And then we came across each other at another Assembly of God church, and you were very active there, and you, quote unquote, grew in your faith. So take us through those years when you were, you know, I mean, you were a Sunday school teacher and you helped with the youth group, and, you know, women perceived you, a lot of times they looked at you as someone they were angry with, and then other times they came to you for spiritual help. So tell us about that.
Well, my life, you know, the dominant church life was with the Assemblies of God, and I was on staff, so I had a, you know, I don't know, a semi type of leadership in that, yes, I was in Sunday school, I was the staff, I was in the, quote, inner circle. And that's where I did learn about end times and all of that. So, my, you know, my church life there was very, very active. Three times a week, I was raising my children in church, in Christian school, and all of that. So it was, it really became my way of life. And I really did believe all of it. But I will say what that did for me in that time, it seemed like something horrible in my life. But now when I look back on it, I see the gift in it, because that is when I started seeking out other modalities. That's when I started, you know, I just went to a yoga class, and then a saint of God came to me and said that that was demonic and I shouldn't be doing that. And that, I started really questioning that, like, how could something so, that it was called New Age when it really isn't, it's old age, it's been around a lot longer, and how could that be demonic? And then I started getting involved with energy work and Reiki.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about that, because we, you know, we had our Restoration Life Ministries church, and we still kind of stayed in the church world, although our doctrine changed. But then you started doing Reiki. One day you came home and said, you know, I want to start learning Reiki. And of course, I had no idea what that was. And I even thought, oh, God, it sounds like that's of the devil. But seriously, tell us about that time in your life and what changed for you spiritually when you saw energy work. And you can explain what that is to our listeners.
Yeah, I mean, I was seeking so desperately for anything that would give me a connection with the divine that I just randomly Googled Reiki. And I saw that there was a local person that had a Reiki practice, so I booked an appointment. Coincidentally, her name is Anita, and had a Reiki session, which is basically moving the energy in your body, moving the chakras, opening them up to allow your energy to flow and give you clarity and open up your intuition and things of that nature.
And this isn't all just like woo-woo stuff. I mean, this has been around in, you know, China and everything way, way before the Bible and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, you've given me Reiki sessions, and I have felt my energy moving. And, you know, we do the little crystal thing where it shows how your energy is opening up. So this is a legitimate thing that, you know, even I remember even you had called into a Christian radio show, and because the guy was blasting Reiki and you tried to express to him and he wouldn't hear of it. Right. Do you remember that? You
know, yes.
So, yeah. But yeah, you were very gifted in that and are gifted in that.
Thank you. So, well, when I had that, I started saying there is more out there and I want to find the more. And that's what took me on the journey. And so I signed up for training and, you know, went through the beginning and worked my way all through the master program, and then started my own practice out of our home.
And so with all of that, where are you now? I mean, people seek you out to talk to, and we both know you have the spirit of Oprah in you, because you ask great questions, and people want to you because you listen. But what do you believe now about the spirit or source, or you've kind of come full circle. So what would be your doctrine, so to speak?
Well, that's interesting, because this is something that you and I have spoken about, because you are a person of voracious reading, studying, and you diving in for the truth and wanting to know what exactly is the truth. And I have no doctrine. I questioned it way back when I was in the church. I always had a question. And so as far as what is my belief system is that I have no belief system.
Okay.
My belief system is that I do believe that there is a source, universal source. I do not claim to know what it is. I do know that it's genderless. And that there is definitely something bigger than us, but I don't feel the need to have to completely understand it, because I trust my intuition and my gut.
Okay, so again, for those that are listening out there, because I do want to know, I want to nail you down on your doctrine, you know. What do you believe, that your intuition is part of that source? I mean, do you see yourself as divine and that type
absolutely.
Of thing?
Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely. I firmly believe in the power and the strength of the divine feminine. And I think that probably one of the, when I really started walking away, was my discomfort with God the Father. God is He. God is masculine. And that's never felt right to me. So when I really started diving into the strength and power of the divine feminine, and that is just that the universal source has a feminine nature, and it's a strength, and it's empathetic, and it's intuitive. And then I started really understanding the history of matriarchal societies and all of that, that's what I'm drawn to. And I'm drawn to the female source.
Which was going to take me to my next thought. So let's talk about your passion for women's issues. And if you had a message for women that may be listening to this and are glad that you're the ones doing most of the speaking here, what'd you tell them? What is your message? If you had a message, what would it be for women?
My message, basically, I would say what my message to other women is what I continually tell myself, and that is, I am worthy. I am intelligent. I deserve to be seen, heard, respected. That's my message to women, is don't allow a patriarchal society to define you. That there is generations and centuries and centuries and centuries of women that have been persecuted for being magical, for being powerful, for being wise, and that has been suppressed by a male-dominated religious society. And that is not who you are. Do not listen to those voices. Listen to your intuition and your gut, because it can be trusted 100%.
Good. And so for those of us, you know, from the country, you really gave a definition of patriarchal, meaning a man-dominated society.
Yes.
Which the Bible was, and in the Middle East at that time, and
it still is.
It still is to this day. So you can see that, how it is. Let's go back for just a moment to when you really got persecuted for doing Reiki and such. Did that confuse you, how people were reacting? I mean, that had to have kind of shaking you. It did me. It pissed me off, but you.
No, actually, I've never really. It's never deterred me. It's actually, I'm like, you know, criticize me and persecute me all you want, because it only makes me stronger. It makes me more determined to move forward. No, I see the people that have these really strong opinions, number one, as ignorant. They don't know what they're talking about. And, you know, I was very criticized for bringing a medium into our home and having a group medium session. And that criticism didn't bother me at all, because I am very confident in what I believe and what I sense inside of me. So if something doesn't resonate with me, then I won't move forward in it, but it doesn't make it wrong. It just makes it not right for me at that particular time. So when I had a medium come into our home for one of our women's circles, I felt good about it and right about it, and my heart was open to it. So when I feel that, I trust it, and I really, quite frankly, don't give a damn what anybody else has to say.
I think you've been often really misunderstood. So what do people don't know about you, and what are they getting wrong about you? Because you can be a little outspoken, and you know what do you think? I mean, what's people missing?
Well, I think that those in my intimate circle, that's not a question that I need to answer for any of them, because I do believe the people in my intimate circle truly know me and know who I am. And so people beyond that, I'm just like, just get to know me. But so I think maybe on the surface, maybe people don't realize how incredibly sensitive I am. I'm very emotional. I cry very easily. My astrological sign is Cancer, so I wear my heart on my sleeve, and I can get my feelings hurt very easily. But other than that, you know, it's cliche, but kind of what you see is what you get with me.
So just a couple more questions. What's your take on what I'm teaching now? I mean, this is a little different than you've ever heard me talk about, you know, talking about the mind and how we think and manifesting reality. Like, where are you with all of that?
Oh, I totally believe in the power of our consciousness and the power of our thoughts. There's no doubt that all that you're teaching and studying and explaining is true and real. I see it as the realest you've ever been, because you've always been on this quest to find truth, and this is as close as you've ever gotten.
What would you like to see manifest over the next few years in your life?
I spent several years facilitating women's retreats and helping women find their voice and their power and their intuition and their passion. That was something that was so important to me and just gave me such bliss and joy. So for me to, what I would like to manifest, I would like to find myself in that space again.
And I think you will. I think that will definitely happen. And awesome. Well, this has been good. A chance for us just to sit, you come into our world. We're just in our living room sitting, talking together as friends. And that's going to be it for today. So folks, if you love this episode as much as I think you did, you know I'm just fully prepared to hand over the mic. But big thanks to Anita for not just being my guest, but for being the calm and wise and no-nonsense voice that helps me keep on the straight and narrow and keep it real, even though it's a big job for her. So if something she said hit home for you, take it with you. Just sit with it and let it unfold, and Folks, as always, and as usual, stay grounded, stay curious, and stay real. We'll see you next time on Real Without Religion.
Thanks for joining us on Real Without Religion. If this stirred something deep within you, hit subscribe, leave a review, and share it with someone who's ready to wake up. You don't have to go back to the box. You don't have to have it all figured out. You just have to be willing to be real and trust what's already inside you. Until next time, stay curious, stay grounded, and stay real.